The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. Nothing like some old school Channel 9 news.
This is Jason Smith, Channel 9 reporter, coming in with late-breaking news. Well, not late. What are we looking at? About an hour ago now?
About an hour ago, fresh off the dirt sheets.
So, Cronulla Sharks have signed Craig Fitzgibbon to a three-year contract starting next year, or inked a three-year deal. I believe somewhere in the realms, they haven't mentioned this, but Cameron Seraldo will be his assistant coach.
Yeah, that's right. And I've heard 1.5 mil, so
yeah,
for 3 years, which, you know, for an NRL coach, I guess, you know, 500 grand a year, that's not a bad living. But, you know, how much is that including Seraldo? Like, it's a bit funny how this sort of thing's all started to come about.
But on the other flip side, John Morris has effectively, I guess, ended his tenure there effective immediately, being told he would not retain, obviously. The players got it via text message that to report to training, but John won't be there. And current Sharks assistant coach Josh Hennay will take charge on an interim basis.
Which is essentially what he did last year after Paul Green was given the arse from the Cowboys. So, the first thing I thought of too was, I guess it's sort of unfortunate too for Josh Hennay, because if Craig Fitzgibbon is coming in, he's going to be bringing his own team of assistants, right? Mm-hmm. Much like Todd Payton did up here, you know, with Steve Georgiarlis and Dean Young, he's brought his own assistants in, and from what everything is that we're reading at the moment, I'm guessing his lead assistant is going to be Cameron Seraldo.
Well, they both coached together in the for the country team
last four,
and they both sort of, you know, talked to each other, and well, I don't think it was going to be to this extent, but talked to each other about working with each other again. So you're right. I mean, Josh Hennay is like effectively what happened at Cowboys is sort of happening again for him at the Sharks. So I'm boggled for the fact of, I didn't realize they were chasing a coach. John Morris clearly wasn't allowed to plead his case, because they're not doing that bad.
Just sort of listening to media and watching various football shows that are on, I think it's a little unfair, because he come into a situation there at Cronulla that wasn't the best. They've had their hands tied behind their, or at least one hand tied behind their back with salary cap sanctions. They've had the whole Bronson Cherry deal where he's been given the turf for 4 years.
Yep.
He hasn't really been given the greatest opportunity to shape and mold a roster that he wants. And now they're basically showing him the door. After this year, in favor of a coach that, yes, he's doing his, you know, so-called apprenticeship under Trent Robinson at the Roosters, but you just have to sort of think, like, this could be one of those situations where it's going to be a baptism of fire, where he's not really going to have the roster that he wants, at least for a year, 2 years. Like, how long is it going to take him to be able to shape his own roster?
I think at the moment, looking at Sharks off contract players, he could start reshaping for next year now. There's a lot of like Fifitas and Josh Dugans of the world that are on big money that are coming off contract.
Yeah, well, they've got like 14 or 16 players that are coming off contract this year. So those players are either vying for, hey, look at us, Craig Fitzgibbon, we can fit well into your team, or they're auditioning for 15 other clubs.
Well, that's right. And so
Andrew Fifita, from what I've read, is possibly going to the Super League to join his brother at Wakefield.
Makes total sense. But Craig, So Craig will start hashing out his sort of team for next year now, because like you just said, there's 15 players.
Jeez, he's got a big job ahead of him then. If he's the lead, you know, if he's an assistant at the Roosters, then he's going to be an assistant for State of Origin again this year, and he's got to try and, you know, hash out rosters and things like that for next year. Whew, he's a busy boy.
He is, but apparently he was chased by a lot of clubs. Like
absolutely.
Swipe on him. Like,
yeah, absolutely. The last couple of years, there's been the market out there, and I guess he's just waited for the right job to come along with, which in Cronulla is not the worst situation. Like, it usually when coaches get the arse, it's because the team is underperforming and it's going to be an ordinary team to start with. He's hitting the ground running really with a Cronulla side that's not terrible. You know, they're not going to win a premiership, but he's got the makings of a good roster there. It's not as if, you know, he's like Todd Payton who's walking into a shitstorm like there is at the Cowboys. It's not like it's Nathan Brown walking into a major rebuild like Nathan Brown has walked in the last two coaching jobs he's done.
So with the main four players, before we move on to the game, Sean Johnson, Matt Moylan, Aaron Woods and Josh Dugan, who are all off contract at the end of this year, that would make up the best part of about $3 million that he'll have in cap space for next year. So it's probably, in Cronulla's aspect, if you're going to do it, it's probably the right time. They obviously didn't see Morris as a player that could recruit and possibly, I'd say retaining could be, but, you know, recruiting players to come in. It's just, I don't know. I don't like it's, he's got huge hype on him, and that can sometimes, we'll just see how it goes, but that can sometimes deter people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, and to say, you know, with the way that it's going at the moment there at Cronulla, like we said, it's, he has to basically do three, he'll be doing three jobs. You know, as it comes to, we're only in round five at the moment. So that's where the conundrum is going to be for him. And like I said, he's going to be an extremely, extremely busy person over the next 9 to 10 months. You know, who's to say how far the Roosters are going to go this year? Like, you know, obviously they had pretty good success, you know, this previous week, but I guess, yeah, we've got to wait and see, you know, how long it takes, you know, whether or not he gets distracted. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of work, you know, for somebody, especially if he's going to be doing State of Origin as well.
Well, that's going to be the other thing. Like, surely, well, he probably will do this, but that could be, you know, there could be a lot of,
like, it could take its toll on him by the end of the year.
He could be recruiting inside that too, for all we know. You know, like,
oh, that's right.
So that could play in well too. But you're right; he's got a big job ahead of him. It's a head scratching move because I didn't think they were doing too bad on a John Morris, but we'll just have to take it as it comes. Oh yeah,
That's it. And look, there'll be a side out there that will pick up Morris this year, I would think. Like, yeah, it's, I mean, he's done an extremely admirable job, like we said at the start, with the situation that he was thrown into, to get that Cronulla job. He's done an admirable job. Look, everyone will say that, oh, he's won a little bit less, a tick under 50% of his games, and all last year they didn't, you know, they didn't beat a top eight side all year. So,
yeah.
So that's the thing. It's not so much that. It's just, I guess, in general turmoil, I guess. And he's sort of steadied the ship there with a product on the field that isn't terrible.
I totally agree. I think he did a fairly admirable job for what he had there. And he's in
absolutely. And look, he's got quality players. Let's not kid ourselves. He's got quality players there. So, you know, is the blight on it that he hasn't done enough with them? Clearly it is.
What sucks for him is he's not going to be able to now, like, you know, he's had to put up with the way the team is and get them to where they are. And now he's not going to be able to play with that kind of money.
No, that's right.
So, but we'll just have to take it as it comes. It's not breaking news, but other, I guess, important news before we move on to the games. I want to say favourite son, but one of the sons in North Queensland Cowboys, Michael Morgan, the captain, had to announce his retirement.
Yeah, that was, I guess, the writing had been on the wall for a little while there. He just hasn't come back from that shoulder surgery or that shoulder injury that he's been carrying for the last 3 years, basically. Yeah. He's born and bred up here in Townsville. That's like you said, you know, I guess he's one of those sort of favorite sons. Like, you know, he said in his press conference afterwards, like, you know, the North Queensland Cowboys were brought into the competition, you know, for guys like him that will get an opportunity to play first grade and not have to move away from his hometown. That's, I mean, and it's brewing. 168 first grade games, you know, a captain of the side, 12 games for Queensland, 12 games for Australia. But it just, yeah, grand final hero. Like there's no ifs or buts, the way to put it. Now, yes, Thurston kicked the field goal, in Golden Point, but grand final hero with that flick pass to Kyle Feld in the corner.
100%.
To set up Thurston to try and kick the winning goal, but obviously that didn't happen. But yeah, just general all around sort of good dude. Had one of those Jarryd Hayne type ends to a season in 2017, you know, an unlikely grand final run in 2017 that got him, you know, a Dally M Halfback of the Year award, you know, just on his hot form. You know, that's 7 or 8 weeks leading into the finals, you know, basically three extremely unlikely finals wins in 2017, only to get shellacked by the Storm on grand final day, you know, with Matt Scott and Jonathan Thurston sitting in the stands, which was a little disappointing because I was actually at that game, that grand final. So, but look, just it come down to basically the straw that broke the camel's back was basically this year. He had another clean out surgery on his shoulder. He got a staph infection, and that in turn started to degenerate some of the cartilage that's in the shoulder, which is not good. And then basically they found out after the round two loss to St. George, Illawarra, which I was at that game, so I guess I can say I was at Michael Morgan's last game. It was found out to be that one of the screws that's in that shoulder joint is broken. So I guess...
Look, great player. He's, like you said, he's going to be remembered for those couple of things. He's not going to be, I don't know, like he's a very admirable player. He's not going to be like, you know, nowhere near Thurston. I'm not saying that, but he's definitely
going to be, regarded as one of, you know, even though it's a relative, let's say a short career, 168 games is good. But he's going to be regarded as, you know, a grand final captain. Do you know what I mean? Like he's played in two grand finals for the Cowboys. So, he's going to go down as an all time great at this club. Absolutely.
He will for that club. Yeah, 100%. I guarantee he will. Yeah, he definitely will.
Yeah, his name will be up at the Leagues Club alongside the greats of, you know, all the long term greats that have been at this club. You know, like Matty Bowen and Thurston and Matt Scott. Those sorts of caliber of player that have played up here. And like I said, you know, two grand finals. You know, and that's. There's not too many people that at the club can say that they played in two grand finals for this club. So Justin O'Neill's, I guess, another one. But
there's not many players that can say that in general that they've gone to two.
That's right, exactly. To make two grand finals, you know, unless you're playing in a purple jersey with a lightning bolt down the front, or you've got Steggles written across the front of your jersey, then to play in two grand finals in a career is amazing.
And a very unlikely second grand final.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That 2017 was so unlike. They had to win their final game, and Canterbury had to lose in the final game of the year for the Cowboys to even sneak into the eight.
Yeah.
And just, it was a 1-point golden point victory over Cronulla. It was the Roos. They knocked off the Roosters. It was just such an improbable run to get to a grand final just to be, you know, absolutely whacked by the Storm. They just ran out of, in that grand final as well. In the first 5 minutes, Sean Fenton had to come off with a broken leg. So, that sort of shot him dead in the leg, you know, no pun intended, but that sort of shot him dead from the get-go to basically have an 80-minute player like Fenton gone, you know, in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Well, we'll move on to the actual games. The first game on Thursday was Rabbitohs and Broncos. Rabbitohs, putting the Broncos to the sword 35-6.
Yeah, look, we had our first 2-point field goal of the season, so I guess that's sort of worth mentioning a little bit. Look, South got off to a pretty hot start in this game. You know, their first two tries down Brisbane's right edge. So it's just sort of exposing the edge defense again, which has been a problem for a couple of teams, actually. Like edge defenses have been pretty ordinary, I guess, for the lower teams. Despite, you know, sort of Brisbane having a pretty good fight back. Once possession started to even up a little bit, with sort of sneaky try to Jermaine Osako, just before the 19th, 20th minute. So they kept themselves into it for the first half, I thought, fairly well. And once you started to get to the back end of that half a little bit, started to get a bit sloppy by both teams. Brisbane were dropping the ball, Souths were dropping the ball. Yeah. So it just, I don't know, I just thought it got a little bit sloppy towards the end of that first half. Yeah. And then basically the two point field goal, which never looked like it was going to miss. it didn't look like it was going to miss.
What do you think of that? Do you like it?
It used to be a part of the game 40 odd years ago, 50 years ago. So,
I don't hate it. It's cool to see. Don't get me wrong, but like you just said, it was part of history 40, 50 years ago. So
no, that's right.
The games
points evolve. You know, there was 3-point tries up until like what it was, 82 or 83.
Yeah.
So the point scoring evolves. But to have it as, you know, beyond 40 meters is, I don't mind it. Like it's, we said it at the start of the year. It's we'll wait until we see a golden point game, and what sort of once we start to get towards, you know, a game at the end of the game, what will happen if it's a 2-point margin or a 1-point margin? Do you know what I mean? Like an interesting situation to see, you know, if one team kicks a field goal and then right at the end of the game, you know, with Manly and the Warriors, and then, you know, as time expires or later on in the game, somebody kicks a 40 meter field goal and that negates that first field goal. So there's all sorts of possibilities for it.
Imagine a big game, but hey, I mean, that's the rules. What are you going to do?
That's right. Them's the rules at the moment.
Going on what you said, you're exactly right. It was pretty poor towards that end of the first half from both teams, but Look, it was their left hand. Like you just said, it was their left hand, or both edges, but that left hand that your Latrell Mitchells and even Campbell Graham had a pretty good game, sort of exploited pretty well. So do you – I mean, again, we said this last week. I think we said this last week. They're pretty solid 1-17, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there really is no kink in their armor. Maybe ball control, like you just sort of said at the start.
As the second half started, they were pretty ordinary to get the second half started as well. Like, they didn't complete a set for the first 10 minutes. They were 0 for 3.
Yeah.
And as soon as they do complete a set, it's the Latrell Mitchell try in the 51st minute. So it ball control, you can say it until you're blue in the face. Ball control is paramount, and yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're playing a poor team or whether and obviously it's even more important in the bigger games. But anyone can beat anyone in this league. It doesn't happen as often anymore, but it just you can't take teams lightly anymore.
No, you definitely can't. No, 100%. It was pretty evident that the edges were exploited by from 1-5, every player got over 100 meters. That's how. I mean, I know they can run in the middle and they do these little runs, from the first or second tackle. Don't get me wrong, but it just shows you how easy those edges were exploited. A couple of teams. Your boys, your Cowboys more than ever exploit.
Exactly.
People exploit that is what I should say.
Yeah, that's right. And until you fix it up, teams are going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
Until it can be fixed. Like before we sort of move on, I did like the way that Benji just slipped straight into that number 6 jersey and covering for Cody Walker. Like that was seamless.
Yeah, and that's what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Reynolds led that team. Oh, yeah, don't get me started into Reynolds. I still don't get what they're doing there. Mm. The guy bleeds.
The price tag for him will continue to rise if he continues to put on this sort of form.
And he clearly bleeds Redfern. He's born there. He lived down the road from there. Anyway. Yes, I get the age. Don't get me wrong.
But like we said last week, I guess we'll continue to say it all year. What have you seen that warrants, anything different? I haven't seen a decline.
Yep. Literally nothing. There's nothing nothing at all. It clearly, if they're talking about the ones and the $1 million mark, no, clearly not. So
that's right.
Next game was the Warriors versus Manly, and the Manly getting their first win of the season, 13-12, pretty much right at the death.
I thought we were going to Golden Point. I thought we were going to Golden Point.
This was one of the ones, and I'll talk about the Cowboys later, that I was like, I couldn't pick and choose from. I ended up picking the Warriors. We'll talk about Cowboys later, but man, I should have just went with my instincts on that. I text all you guys. All our Jubba team, shout out to the Jubba team. I said, I should have actually put money on the Cowboys.
Oh. And
remember when you said, no, you said, oh yeah, no, they might end up losing. But anyway, it is what it is.
It could have been a very bad investment.
Well, it could have been, but it isn't. But we'll talk about that later. So Manly, yeah, it was a pretty even game for two teams, well, at least one team, but the Warriors, they're just so hot and cold. God, produce something special, and then they produced games like this where the errors were just everywhere. Oh,
that's the thing as well, is they have been the team that's had the best completion rate all season in 83%, and for them to sort of dip below that, and okay, it wasn't that much below that, but at 75%, it's an even share of possession. You look at what they did with team selections in putting Tohu Harris at prop, which I thought was extremely strange selection. If that's going to continue to happen, obviously they've got no Aiden Finua Blake at the moment, You know, he's gone for at least 4 months from what I'm hearing with a fractured patella.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's done for a while. Bundy Afoa wasn't there for this match, but he should be back next week. So that's a big help. He's been a very good in-form sort of forward for them. You know, Leeson Armau there as well. But if without Aiden Fanua Blake, I think they're just going to lack a little bit of
100%.
A little bit of punch up front. And that's just the kind of the caliber of player that Fanua Blake is.
And that's exactly right. And he produced in that first three rounds up until he got injured last week. Yeah, no, I agree. And it severely lacked in this game. Look, both teams weren't great. I mean, Manly still weren't great in this game.
No, absolutely. Really, if like you sort both, of... both teams showed a little bit of steel defending their try line.
Yeah.
And to say that, okay, they haven't got the greatest sort of attacking halves, especially the Warriors, but yeah, Manly sure as hell do. They just got to rediscover a little bit more form, but. You know, for them to sort of repel, for the Warriors to repel Manly as often as they did, away, I think it was about three or four sets on the trot, you know, including set resets, to turn Manly away as often as they did in the first half, was good. You know, it showed that you can still compete in games with a high completion rate and good goal line defense.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly how it sort of played out. I thought, you know, you were saying that, you know, Manly do have those sort of halves. Kieran is still, I'm still sort of not head scratching. I get why they signed him, but at least Daly wasn't too bad in that game. He controlled, you know, he controlled the ball. He got three tackle breaks, but the biggest thing, I guess, for them was. He was the guy that set both tries up for him, two tries.
Yeah, that's right. So that early try for Saab, that early kick was brilliant.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That was so good. It just caught everybody by surprise. And they were saying during the broadcast as well that Saab can keep up with Australian sprinters. At 60 meters. So it's
really?
60, it's 60 meters. He can keep up with the best of the best of Australian sprinters.
Ooh.
So, you know, and he said he's 6 foot six. You know, he's a tall drink of water.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah,
to me, he said to me, it's almost like a Usain Bolt comparison. Yeah, you get them long legs going.
Yeah.
And you're making less steps than everybody else, aren't you?
That's just
what I heard on the broadcast. They said, after 60 meters, he can hold his own.
I didn't hear that one.
With the best of the best of Australian sprinters.
Wow, that's very interesting.
That's unreal.
I'd love to see. Again, this is why I bring back. I mean, you cannot tell me out there everybody would love this on a grand final day. Maybe not the players that are playing.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. I know exactly what you're gonna say. Let's do it.
Have one player from East Club line up at the line, sprint 100 metres and see who the fastest player is.
Let's do it. That'd be Martin so Lafoya. Good.
Everybody loved that. I still don't get why they haven't done it. I do not get it. It does not make any sense at all.
Yep.
Send
them down.
They talk about it during games. Like this Jason Saab, like you said, like Addo Carr, like Xavier Coates when they were doing a comparison, like when Addo Carr couldn't catch.
Yeah, it's right. Who's run the fastest? Oh, so, he's run 38.1 kilometers an hour. Oh, but Xavier Coates has run 37.2 kilometers an hour.
That's exactly right. So just settle the argument. I mean, by the sounds of it, Jason.
That's right. That's it. Let's settle it.
Jason Saab's going to blow everybody away by the sounds of it anyway. So it probably doesn't need to be settled.
Let's settle it. Let's do it.
I love to see it, man. My God. And people, oh, well, magic round. Everybody's there.
Everybody's there, aren't they? Everybody's there.
I'm sure you could do it. I'm sure they've, you know,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say it at in between, you know, at half time. Oh, no, well, and to say that, like, you know, it sort of takes out the two teams that are playing, you know, if you do it at half time of one of the games or.
You'd have to do it before a game or after a game. But,
yeah.
Yes, they just ran 100 meters. But come on, recovery of 100 meters is different to recovery of a game. They're going to be fine to keep playing.
That's right. Most of them are going to be outside back, so they should be able to recover from it.
So that's exactly right.
I still think grand final day would be, you'd have
at the end of the day, any which way you're going to alienate two teams unless they do a preseason or post.
But at least grand final day, you know, it's
spectacle.
That's something cool for halftime.
I guarantee people would love to see that at halftime.
Absolutely, they would.
Than some third rate band. I guarantee that. Pre-grand final
100 meter sprint. That'll get people up. That'll get people hyped. Then you don't have to worry about, are we appeasing the young crowd? Let's get Jimmy Barnes again so we can appease everybody. Do you know what I mean? Let's get Johnny Farnham out there.
I'd love to see him again.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, you know, instead of trying to get the criticism of everybody and go, oh, well, you're just appeasing the young crowd or blah, 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 however they want to do it. You put that on beforehand, then you don't have to put all the BS staging and everything on that.
You can still have that, but I guarantee everybody, every kid would watch that. Every adult would watch it at 100 meter sprint.
At halftime, you'd get up and go and have a cheeky toilet break and then hurry up and get back for the 100 meter dash.
I'm going to start a Facebook page or something and just get people to sign up and then just get it going. Next game, well, the next Friday game was the Panthers, you mentioned at the start of this pod, beating the Raiders 30-10, still unbeatable at the moment. In front of God, I mean, yeah, they're unbeatable. Yeah, I can hear what people are saying about sort of being a little bit cockiness. I'm loving that they're getting the crowds out there.
No, that's a good thing. They're sort of getting decent crowds out there at BlueBet Stadium. BlueBet. So, you know, 20,000 is a fairly that's a hefty crowd for you know what I mean, for a Friday night in round five to start off. They're believing in their team. But look, Canberra did not take a back foot, you know, a backward step at all in that first half. The halftime score didn't really reflect it, you know, at 18-6. But they put up a really good fight in that first half and didn't sort of really bear the fruits of being a little bit closer on the scoreboard.
No, that's fair. I mean, I took it as they just didn't have enough. They couldn't break that line pretty well. That was, I wouldn't say glaring, but they couldn't really break that line really in the first half at all.
Once Penrith starts to get their fair share of possession,
and
that's always going to be hard to stop as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And look, I don't. There's a difference to me. I don't know. I see a difference between being cocky and being that they're just playing like they played last year. Like, really, what is the difference?
No, absolutely. But that's all well and good that you can go out there and believe in yourself and believe in your own hype. But when push comes to shove and you want to say, well, what did Penrith achieve last year?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They were grand final losers.
You're that good. You'd won 17 in a row, 16 in a row regular season. You just blasted everybody in the finals, and then you need the referee's help in a grand final last year to even make the score respectable.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They just got totally outclassed on the biggest day of the year.
I am dirty. I mean, he was probably pretty admirable for the Storm, but I am dirty. Well, not really, not for the player, but Paul Momorowski is just slotted well into that Panthers squad.
Oh, yeah.
Probably good. I know, but he's slowly getting towards being that cheapy sort of buy of the season because, he's performing very well, just slotted in very well on that side. He was pretty admirable. I'm surprised they didn't re-sign him at Melbourne. He was pretty admirable, I thought, for Melbourne. So
he's a class player. He's a good strike center. He's a good, big dude.
Good giddly flick there for that Charlie Staines try. That was awesome.
Exactly. How good was his footwork? Good grief. Like, just to stop on a dime, especially for that second try, I guess for his second try that started that little melee between everybody. But that to just be able to stop like that and just watch the winger go straight past him and to score in the corner. And see, that's where to me it comes into it. Like, you know, this might be one of those moments, I guess, where it's, you know, you stand there and shake a fist and say, get off my lawn, old man talk. But Joe Tarpany is just standing there waiting to go on. Stephen Crichton comes up. They're all celebrating. That's all well and good. Celebrate away. Do what you got to do. But he comes up and gives him a little cheeky, you know, shoulder to the back. And then he turns around. It's just like, what the hell's going on? And then grabs him and brings him into the celebration.
That's
and
the
it's
weird
just,
thing.
You just don't need that BS, man. You don't need that.
No, I agree.
You know who the main instigator is, and don't get me started. It's Jerome Luai. He is the instigator in all of this. He can dish it out, but I have not seen him take the forcefulness back. He knows how to. Oh boy, he dishes it out.
Oh, I know he does.
He's a chirpy little player.
I agree with that.
Good player, and been in great form. But oh boy, is he an instigator? He is a total instigator.
But that was Crichton's fault. That was Crichton.
Oh no, absolutely. But even last year and this year, he loves to bait people.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely loves to bait people.
How about the weird thing is, how about the assistant coach from Canberra touching James Fisher-Harris? That would be the last thing I would have done.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it just that game towards the end of it got really, really sort of chippy and a little bit fiery towards the end of that.
That's good, because they were old classic 90s rivalry, Penrith.
No, that's right. Exactly.
I love, you know, your Stewarts versus your Guys of the World and all that sort of thing.
Brandy and Laurie Daly and Roycey Simmons. Like I said, yeah, Mark Kyer.
Stevie Walters. I love that. Yeah. So, but look, they're class. They're going to keep winning by the looks of it. I mean, someone's going to beat them soon. Clearly, someone will beat them soon. After a while, I think someone will beat them soon. I shouldn't say clearly because you never know, but.
I guess it'll take an off game from them, and I guess one of those sort of Herculean efforts by, I guess, whether it's going to be a premiership heavyweight, whether it's going to be South, whether it's going to be Melbourne, one of those teams you would have thought, maybe Parramatta or somebody like that, it's a team that's playing really good at the moment as well. That's super physical. That's really putting a hurting on teams at the moment. It's St. George Illawarra.
Yeah, no, they are playing pretty well. They don't play St. George Illawarra, unfortunately. The next game, which I think is that Magic Round. Yeah, so the one that they'll come up against will be that Titans versus Panthers. The games before that is basically Manly, Newcastle. Yeah, no, they a lot of easy wins up until the Titans, who could sort of put the pressure on them a little bit. And then this week they've got the Broncos, so they should win those three technically. So,
well, yeah, realistically, yeah, you say that they should win, but it could be whether or not it's going to be one of those hard fought slog them out sort of games, and maybe one of those lower teams could get the better of them. But the way that they're playing at the moment, it's deserved confidence, but. Yeah. The cockiness, there's no need for it because everyone's going to say, including me, what did you achieve last year?
Yeah.
What are you going to be remembered? What are you going to be remembered for? An all-time gag job in the grand final.
Next game was the first Saturday game with a team that I just mentioned that I think, you know, they're hitting their straps. Yes, it was against a Knights team without Mitchell Pearce, and glaringly that's obvious, but. The Gold Coast Titans beating the Knights 42-16.
Look, this game was exciting to watch from the get go. Like they just tore them apart from the get go. Like Kevin Proctor went over basically in the first set that the Gold Coast had.
Literally, yeah, literally.
So it's you're just like, well, where the hell is this going?
Yeah,
you know, within 20 minutes they're down 18-0 or 16-0. So you're just like, good grief. Like it's that you could see it as well at that half time that Adam O'Brien was absolutely cutting loose in the change rooms at halftime. He was going off his rocker. I watched his press conference and that afterwards as well. And it's just a scathing, you know, appraisal of the team and where they're at the moment. It's almost like Todd Payton was saying a couple of weeks ago about the Cowboys. It's just, it wasn't Todd Payton. It was Josh McGuire saying they just got no resolve, like no will to come back and fight through, you know, adversity.
Well, look, I mean, that was Caelan Ponga.
They've got an injury toll at the moment.
Well, you know, that's exactly right.
They're getting a few good players back this Caelan week. Ponga's
first game back, he's pretty admirable in that game. Yes, he got a try, but he also topped the meters for them at 180.
I didn't think he missed a beat.
No, honestly, at all. No, he didn't at all.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Besides being stood up a couple of times by David Fifita, Fifita rumbled past him for, I think it was his second try, and then did a little goose step and ran past him on the outside for his third try. But he still show a clean pair of heels on his try, you know, in the 68th minute to outrun AJ Brimson, who's no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I think he, I agree. He didn't miss a beat at all. I think he played pretty well in a losing side, to be completely honest. The defense will just come back. I mean, that's just line. Like, that's probably not even, well, it is a little bit him, because he should be calling the line across. So that's just super simple talk. And, you know, yeah, if it's broken that first line, you know, it is David Fifita running at you too, don't forget. Exactly. So
that's arguably the form forward. Yeah. Of the competition right now. So, yeah, they had, I'd say that the Gold Coast has sort of come out there with a little bit of fire after having basically, I think, their pants pulled down last week against Canberra, you know, in a game that you would have thought they would have been a little bit more competitive. And once again, it comes down to injuries. That's the game, you know, if you're relatively healthy, you keep your key players fairly injury free and you don't miss a lot of time, then you'll do well.
I'm not sure if he likes it. I mean, he must be, because he hasn't whinged about it, but I praise the move of Tino from lock to the prop, and then obviously they put Tyrone Peachy at the lock. Not praising it. I praise it for Tino. I think he's playing pretty good at the lock. I mean, he's a big dude. Don't get me prop. He's a big dude. He's playing pretty well there.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's the enjoyment factor too. Like I think it's Tino sort of embracing that prop forward role. It's unfortunate for Mo Fotowaka, who's had to resolve back to the bench, but he's still putting up big numbers. And you've got that sort of a little bit of extra ball player in Tyrone Peachy at the 13. So you've got a little bit more creativity. Coming down the stretch of games, and Peachy was terrific in this game as well. So
he was terrific.
That's I brought it up at the start of the year, when we did our preseason podcast, and they won their last five games. He was averaging 130, 140 odd meters in those games where he'd started at lock. Whether you want to say that's coincidence or not, but it's continuity for him as well. Like, you know, it's not coming into, you know, Monday's training going, well, where am I going to slot in this week? Because we've got this injury, we've got that injury. Oh, I might have to play number six. I might have to play in the centers. I might have to play on the bench. So, you know, when you know you're going into a game, you know, your jersey number on the back is always going to be the same. Your role is going to be the same. You'll start to excel.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I think Tyrone Peachy is. I think he's preferred at lock. I mean, personally, just looking at the game, I was just skeptical because Tino finished well for Melbourne last year at the lock.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He seems to at least at the moment he's embracing it pretty well. So, and they're going great. They should. Yeah, they'll easily be the best Queensland side this year by a long shot.
I think by a very, very wide margin, I think that's going to be. It was really funny sort of listening.
This is interesting.
Yeah, well, exactly. It was just funny sort of, you know, watching the second half of that game and, you know, you could once again, I don't know, maybe it's just me and I'm getting a little pedantic at it, but you could absolutely tell that the commentators for that game were not on the Gold Coast, that they were calling.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
they were calling it from Sydney. There was a Daniel Saifidi knock on right on the try line, and he gets there and he does this really good sort of spin move as he gets there, and then tries to plant the ball sort of from behind him, and he knocks I think it was Brimson's knee, and it flops out the back, and it's a knock on, but you can hear, I don't know why, I just don't rate that Dan Ganane. I don't know why. Surely there's better caller commentators out there.
He's just
trying to ham it up. I've heard him on the radio for a long time, and that's where he should stick. Look, I'm throwing stones at people that, you know, we have no chance of sort of attaining, but it just he's just trying to ham it up. Yeah. He's that's closer than you think, and it's just like no, it's not. Like, he's a good meter shy of the try line.
Yeah.
And then there's another replay of it, and he's like, oh, look out, this might be, for God's sakes, it's nowhere near it. Yeah. Nowhere near it.
Yeah.
No, just that's keep fair. It in your pants and let's just get on with it. Like, there's no need to ham it up. It's rugby league. It's a great freaking game. There's no need to ham it up, but you can always tell when they're not there, because whenever they go, down to Gordon Tallis on the sideline, and there's that weird sort of 2 second pause, and then they start to speak, and it's just me being pedantic.
At least, I agree.
There's no travel restrictions here. I don't get it either.
Pull
the finger out, Fox Sports. I don't know what am I paying for if you can't send commentators up to Queensland. At least, have a team of commentators in Queensland that can do Queensland games. The ABC radio do it.
Well, we say this for the NBA too, which is, way more. At least with the NRL, like, it doesn't move as frenetically placed as the NBA.
The NBA is going cross-country every day.
No, sorry. Yeah, I don't mean that. I mean just the actual game itself. Like, the up and down the court is, like, in 5 seconds. So that's right, exactly. That's glaringly obvious, that delay. My God, that's glaringly obvious.
It's effing terrible.
It's very, very terrible. At least with this, it's not too bad. But I agree. I mean, we've got no restrictions here. I'm sure they've got the money. Like you said, what do we pay for? But
yeah, that's right. What are we paying for Foxtel's subscription for?
That's right.
Pay for a reason, right?
Yeah.
They're making a butt ton of money off bloody advertising and stuff. Like, what's the problem?
Next game was the Storm. Look, you know, the Bulldogs still haven't won yet, but I don't think they were going to beat the Storm 52-18. I mean, probably there's not much really to go over this game. Yes, the Bulldogs were poor. Yes, Melbourne were Melbourne-like is probably the best way to put it. Harry Grant was back in this game. He was fairly productive, at least in the defense.
You could forgive Melbourne if they took the Bulldogs a little bit lightly. Do you know what I mean? And so, but they kind of absolutely didn't. They just went out there and it didn't matter who it was across the other side of the field from them. They were just wearing a blue and white jersey, and we're going to go out there and we're just going to pummel the crap out of them.
That's what happened. Yeah. I mean, it was just, God, their 10-meter line defense was just terrible. Kafusi's first try, he didn't, it wasn't easy, but he nearly flopped over. Like, it was just, you know, there was a couple of them. I think Kamikaze's try was pretty much like just to flop over as well.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah, that's I guess, you know, Canterbury's, they've got problems all over the park, but yeah, at least in this game, you know, they did sort of put on 18 points and they scored. Sort of showed it a little bit.
They got some points.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 265 minutes without any points. So, and that's all they needed to do was bring back Luke Thompson. That's all they needed to do.
And their completion rate was phenomenal. It was only 90%, 31 out of 35 for the completion rate. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think it's I don't want to go over too much in this game. Obviously, how good Melbourne was, yes, Bulldogs weren't well. The reason being because Bulldogs did the same thing they did last week, and it's just that six, seven players, the chemistry is just not there yet. It just isn't.
No, that's right, and they've had a few injuries as well. You know, they've had to bring Jake Alvarillo back in the halves. Yeah. You know, after Lewis got smashed last week, and it didn't look like that he could recover. So, look, it's the continuity in the halves. Yes, they've got Flanagan there. The thing is, I think that's important for them too. Is that they've got, you know, the best thing to have is your future set at least at one of the halves positions, and then try and build around that. So yep. They've got a good crop of young guys there. I still like Luke Thompson. I think he could be a real force in the NRL. You know, one of those Poms that's come over and is testing himself against the best and is, you know, is holding up.
And once again,
they've still got their rock in Josh Jackson. Yeah. I think he got hurt in this game, but I don't think he's playing next week.
No, he's not.
Against the Cowboys.
He did get hurt.
Yeah, you've got Corey Allen. Do you know what I mean? Like you've got Addo Carr coming next year. Like they've
and
got
Matt Burton. Matt Burton has another great game.
They've got Burton coming next year. So the building blocks are there. Yeah. They just have to get through this rotten season.
And then you're right. And just sort of this is a write-off season just to build chemistry and see work out partnerships and that. You're right. You've got Addo Carr and Burton coming, which is going to be brilliant for them. I still think they're missing a front rower for death at least. I just think that's missing big time. Like, again, like, you know, we really say it every week. But Aidan Tolman should have never left there. That's what they're missing. That's what I think they're missing. It doesn't have to be a mongrel player, like, you know, that crop of mongrel that Aidan Tolman has or any Pommy has, but just a front rower, just to have depth.
Quality up front. Like, you need one of those guys that's, you know, willing to go out there and put the body on the line every week. Yeah. And to just go out there and doesn't matter who's on the other side of the field, just to go out there and just try and bash him into oblivion.
Just like we'll talk about them later, but just like that Kiwi from the Parramatta Eels, that dude just doesn't care about his body, just smashes everybody. I'll get his name later. That second rower that's got the hair everywhere, I can't remember his name. I'll move on.
You're not talking about you know, Isaiah Papali'i.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a fro on him now.
Yeah, but I mean, he has no disregard for his body. That's what, if they had someone like that, it's just like, and he makes averages 60 meters a game, and he doesn't even play that many minutes. So yeah.
Yeah.
Next Saturday game was the Roosters getting over the Sharks. We spoke at the Sharks to the start, but they played. The Roosters had to work in that second half.
Ooh, boy.
I watched this game after watching the Cutters go down. We went back to Harrow Park, so I watched this fully there. Cutters got smashed by the...
At Harrow Park, you're a few wild turkeys deep, or like, what was going on?
We'll put it this way. It was a corporate box at Cutters, and there was no limitation. So I wasn't wild turkeys deep, but I was. I think I was three beers and three Jemisons deep before I got to this game. And they were cans, full cans.
And that's a nice little stroll down the road too to get to Harrop Park from where the Cutters play. It's not very far.
No, we're lucky because
you could have shot some hoops on the way down there too. You should have jumped the fence.
Oh man, I was lucky to walk a straight line just on that path. But anyway, that's a whole different story.
You can get run over going down that road.
It is a good ride. Actually, it's a very good ride. It's a good little area. That little area with all the sporting hub kind of thing.
That's a major little Mackay sporting hub. It's nice.
And Harrop's a good place now, but that's...
Oh, Harrop Park, yeah. Gotta love going there.
They've got a beer garden now and $6 basics, but that's... Oh, no, we're Tom Cressing.
Oh, that is dangerous. It is real dangerous.
It is very dangerous there. I could see everything, and what I seen at the first half... the Sharks,
I couldn't hear everything.
I couldn't hear anything. No, I couldn't hear anything. But the Sharks were playing well. Their first half, the Roosters were in trouble. I was praising the Sharks. I thought they're going to keep doing this. They were going
well. The Roosters were in trouble up until the last 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Sam Walker put his stamp on this. Look, you can tell that it was a clear tactic of Cronulla to run at Sam Walker to try and tire him out.
Yeah.
And look, yeah, you know, he didn't do, you know, terrifically well defensively in that first half. That's what they're saying. He's like 79 or 80 kilos.
Like, he's 78 kilos. Yeah, I looked that up to make sure. Yeah, he's 78 kilos.
And you've got, you know, your Cronulla boppers running at him. So that's tough work, you know, for the youngster. But in that, that's, I mean, in, once you could just see that the Roosters, as the game went on, sort of after about the 50th minute or so, they were just beginning to wrestle the game away from Cronulla. And just getting a little bit more momentum, a little bit more confidence. Like Jarrell Rea-Hargraves, apart from his, to me, just a ridiculous, just a brain fart penalty in that first half. It was after Townsend kicked. And you see him stop and then run into him and then tackle him to the ground. Like, you know, it was just, like they said on the broadcast, just a little cuddle. And that's all he did. But it was so late. Like, that is just dumb.
Yeah,
that's dumb. Like, he's such a great prop, but just little BS things like that.
He has
a couple of BS things. Get him out of his game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Another thing in that game, the number who I think it was end up being Freddie Lussick, another number nine that went down. He went down pretty early in the 17th minute.
That's right.
So, they're gonna play another makeshift number nine next week. Only up against the Storm, so that'll be interesting. But as a Benjamin Marsh.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it, Marsh.
Marsh, yeah. So,
but supposedly he's got. I'm pretty sure I heard today that he's got to beat a crusher tackle charge for him to be able to play next week. So they could be looking at you know, even further into the dummy half depths. To you know, whether it's going to be somebody like, you know, they might be able to put somebody like a Nate Butcher or the only other option is to put Victor Radley there
and then move like a Nate Butcher to the lock or something. Well, there's a few players that could play the lock there.
Yeah,
they can mix it around, but yeah, good point. So yeah, they come back. They did like that, and you mentioned him before, but Sam Walker, once he found his feet, he ended up setting those three try assists up, or the three tries from his three try assists. So he looks the goods. I mean, he's only 18.
Absolutely. He had his stamp on those final three tries. You know, the Tupou try over in the left. You know, a massive double pump, and then, you know, a Sydney Harbour Bridge type pass to get Tupou over. You know, his try where he ducked under Chad Townsend and went through the line, and then going to the right hand side and the try to the try again to Brett Morris. Brett Morris has got 11 tries. He's got 11 freaking tries already.
Yeah, it's
round five. That's unbelievable.
It's very what I looked at when he set those three tries up, and I'll wait to sort of this is only very early call, so don't shoot me. But it was very Alan Langer like, because he's so small, and he ducks under players, and he weighs next to nothing like Langer did back in the day. But that doesn't, it's not deterring him.
No, well, and that's what you've got to be. It's to me, I don't do the comparisons to Alan Langer. I do the comparisons to Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah,
when he first came into that Canterbury side, and boy was he a runt. Man, he was small. And teams would target him week after week after week.
And
you get better, and you show your class by showing it in attack, you know, when you're that kind of player.
Yeah, so no, I agree.
This is going to be one of those games, I guess, that you could say that Cronulla let go a little bit, but that's the brilliance, the confidence of, you know, of an 18-year-old who knows that they're going to stick by him for the rest of the year, because they've kind of got no option, have they? Like the Hutchison and Walker are going to be the halves this year. Like they've got no choice. So I guess you sort of take a little bit of confidence when it comes to that as well, to know that there's not as much pressure on you to keep your job in the top squad.
And before we move on to the next game, hooker Ben Marsh was successful on the judiciary of challenging the crusher tackle, so he's free to play.
More breaking news. I could have pulled out the national 90s thing again.
because Freddie Lussick, so he ended up fracturing his arms. He's out for 8 weeks. So.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, he only played. I think that happened early. I think he was gone in
17 minutes.
Yeah,
the first 15. Yeah, no, yeah, we'll just keep finding breaking news. We'll just break it while we're doing the pod.
Where's that National 9 News? Where's our producer around here? What's going on?
Yes, we do need a producer. That's actually a really good idea. Next game was your Cowboys.
They're going to have to do it for free.
Yeah, well, we do it for free until Sportsbet come on and play. The Cowboys getting their first win over the hapless Tigers, 34-30, and I goddamn should have just went with my instinct, but...
I'm glad you had the instincts to think the Cowboys were going to win, because I sure as hell didn't, but...
No one else did.
I mean, that was... This is one of those classic tales of two halves.
Oh, it was. I agree.
Absolute classic tale of two halves.
Yeah, I agree. And if Dewey was much
of a kicker, they could have absolutely won this game, the Tigers. And everybody out there is crucifying them for their first half. And I have not heard, especially by Sydney-based media, I have not heard one thing about how goddamn awful the Cowboys were in the second half. All it was how great the Tigers were. They were invited back into this game by North Queensland in the second half.
Right.
Now, North Queensland were horrible. Their back three was disgraceful in the second half.
I totally agree. I thought the same thing.
Under the high ball, man. They're brutal.
They're still playing compressed defense for some reason. I don't get it.
Yeah, so it said. Don't worry. So are the Tigers. And they got exposed real early by Tabuai Fadeau. Like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But these poor teams, I don't get it. I just don't get how they compress so much. You're right. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. It was just a tale of two halves. I think, for the Tigers, that Luke Brooks there's very little rumors going out there. It's not going to happen, but where Luke Brooks might do a, and there'll be have to be money behind this, but Luke will do a swap with Adam Reynolds.
For God's sake, that'd be the worst.
Player-player swap. It'd be Luke Brooks plus like $500,000 at least. It would have to be
huge compensation for that.
But the score doesn't justify how both teams weren't that great. And you said it.
No, that's right.
You can have a tale of two halves and say just because the team won that they were great, because they weren't.
No, that's amazing. High scoring match. But this is the thing that I took a lot out of this game. But the one thing that they need to do, and it's going to be a bit hard now because Tabuai Fadeau has got that ankle injury, so he's gone.
Yeah.
Who knows how long for? It could be a couple of weeks. So he needs them legs for that speed. But they need to do what they did against the Tigers to try and beat them on the outside with good old-fashioned genuine pace, because then that starts to spread your team out, and then you can start to run up the middle. You'll find gaps up the middle, or even on the edges in between your second rowers and your lesser defenders, shall we say, in your halves and your centers. Like, that's what the Cowboys need to start doing. They need to start to use that speed. It's going to, like I said, it's going to be difficult now, but you know that they exposed big time the Tigers.
Yep.
Right. So that's all they did. They just kept going down the Tigers' right hand side, like the Cowboys' left hand edge attack, and they just kept going down it and kept going down it. Drinkwater had the ball on a string.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no, he definitely did. I guess for them, fortunately, with Tabuai Fadeau out, probably a short period, but Justin O'Neill looks like he'll be back next week, along with Jason Tamalolo as well. So
yeah, that's a big in for JT, the other JT, to come back in. You know, that'll give him some grunt up front.
Well, they're facing the Bulldogs.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, they've let Josh Maguire go, and he's been named in the 21-man squad for St. George Illawarra straight away. So.
That's a scary game. Like, so they're playing the Bulldogs in Townsville, which you probably already know this anyway, on Sunday. That's a scary game for them to come in and
this could
you
be
know.
One of those games like this game was.
It could. And, you know, Bulldog, this
poor defense all the way around. This could be another high scoring game.
Unfortunately,
if you're going to have a bet this week, take the overs on points.
I'd say, and this could also be a game like I'm not sure what they're paying. Oh, they're $2.75, but this is a game where Bulldogs could essentially win.
Oh, absolutely, they could.
Oh, that's a scary game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely, they could. But like, just some of the defensive decisions.
Yeah.
By the Tigers, like, you know, James Roberts was his own worst enemy in this game. He shot out of the line quick on the Ben Condon try. He basically, the Tigers had all the momentum in the second half. Like I said, you know, the Cowboys were brutal under the high ball. And to the Tigers' credit, they kept going to the bomb. And it was working. Holmes had one of his worst games under the high ball that I've seen.
Yeah.
He was shocking.
Yeah.
Kyle Feld has come back from a couple of weeks suspension. He was ordinary under the high ball. It was diabolical. And they just kept inviting the Tigers to come back into the game. And the Tigers accepted that invitation. And the turning point in the game, it was 28-20, with the Tigers having all the momentum. And it was the I think it was the second of, well, it would have been Norfoluma's second try, pretty much in as many minutes.
Yeah.
And it was taken away by Roberts just sort of shooting up into the Cowboys' line of defense and obstructing a player.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys take that penalty, and they make the Tigers pay instantly. And they go, oh, that was their only try. That was basically their only try of the second half.
Second half, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
The Lachlan Burton, they took it basically, not so much 100 metres, but, you know, they took it off the penalty, went all the way down the other end, a little bit of broken play, and scored off that set.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. James Roberts.
That's a huge turning point in the game. Otherwise, the Tigers would have won this game. They had all the running in the second half.
Yeah. Oh, they did. No, they definitely did. I just James Roberts, his defensive lapses. I mean, it was pretty clear, like you just sort of said. It's just a weird team for him to be in. I don't know. Maybe he's just lost. Like, he's not a completely lost, but maybe it's just not James Roberts who we thought 2 or 3 years ago.
I guess a tale of when you're in a front running team, you look at me and Bucks, but, you know, when you're in a struggling team and you know you've got that sparkling form and you're a representative player and all that sort of stuff, it weighs you down.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It does.
So it's one of those games. And the thing that was sort of a little bit sort of perplexing, I guess, in this game as well was why no James Tarmo in the second half.
I don't know. You
see him standing there with his big, gigantic coat on, and he was just chomping at the bit to get back on. And they even said after the game, said, "Oh, we're not sure what's happening here. There's been no injury report or anything on James Tarmo. I don't know if that's true or not." And then on NRL 360 last night, they're like, "Oh, I think they just stuffed up their interchange rotation." And it's like, that doesn't make any sense.
No,
like, how do you screw your interchange rotation up? Did you use them all in the first half?
Yeah, no.
Get him back on there. He's your best forward.
Yeah.
No, it didn't make sense at all. You absolutely get him back on there. So that was very strange to me why he was, I guess, sort of neglected to be put back on in that second. And you could see Michael Maguire was filthy, especially in that first half. Filthy.
Yeah.
And then when they had all the running, you know, they had the Joe Offengawi try right near the end, and then Luke Brooks puts the kick off on the ground.
Yeah.
And that basically ended the game. So I guess sort of a lackluster end to it. Just one of those games where it just, tail of two halves.
Last game was the Eels versus the Dragons. The Dragons, getting over the Eels 26-12. Like you said, it's sort of halfway through, I think, the hot form of the Dragons.
Look, the Dragons have been, especially that they've won, three on the trot now.
Yeah.
They have absolutely been, and over those three games, they have absolutely been the most physical out of any of the teams.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, aggressive, good line speed, good kick chase, aggressive off the defensive line. So, and just putting absolutely everything into tackling, into putting on shots, into trying to beat down and demoralize your opponents just by physicality.
And why? I wonder why. I mean, it's very evident why, but wonder why.
Is it as simple to say that it's Anthony Griffin?
Is it that simple
to go out there and say, look at the Broncos connection that they've got back there now too, especially with Josh McGuire going back there.
Yep.
Now, that's a pretty decent sort of Brisbane connection that they've got happening there at
Jack Bird, Corey Norman, Andrew McCullough. And then now Josh McGuire. So it's everything you just said then, but is exactly what they've been doing. But everything you just said then is that no nonsense stuff that, you know, Anthony Griffin was when he was with Penrith, they were saying it's boring stuff, but it wins games. Who cares if it's boring? If it's no nonsense,
yeah, exactly.
Too bad. So.
We've said it before. He's just one of those no nonsense coaches where he was on NRL 360 last night. He's got the personality of a wet fish.
Yeah.
But it works. Like I thought he was dumped pretty harshly from the Broncos when it was clear that they were going nowhere. You know, and you can have a look at the club where they are now. That they were on a very slippery slope. You know, to where they are at the moment.
Yeah.
When he was turfed out of there, Penrith were they in the top four or in the top eight when they let him go? A couple of years ago, I thought they were in the top four.
They were definitely
They were definitely
in the eight. I don't know if they were in the four, but they were definitely in the eight. If you give them the ass, they were definitely in the eight. 100%
yeah. That's right. Yeah. Like, oh, you butted heads with Gus Gould. Oh no, we can't do that.
Yeah. Now he's not even there anymore. So
exactly.
Yeah, it is weird. But they are playing. They're one of the form teams at the moment. They're playing great. He's getting as much as he can out of Corey Norman, which is great because no other sitting coach seemed to have done it. And this could be the whole Brisbane thing. So. And having Andrew McCullough there, you know, they were whinging.
That's such great cover.
Yeah,
for,
I think so.
You know, McGuinness, which is so unfortunate for him to go down now in a training, you know, in a training incident at the start of the year, not even being able to play out the final season of his contract before he goes to Cronulla next year. But for them to have Andrew McCullough there as backup is such good fortune. And it's paying dividends. Like everybody, obviously the Broncos thought he was washed up, and they gave him turf, and he played terrific last year for Newcastle.
He did, yeah. That was.
And he's playing great for the Dragons this year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that Newcastle let him go, but mate, could be salary cap issues for all we know. So.
Oh well, they only had him there just to cover for Jayden Brailey. Like you know their future. Newcastle's future at dummy half there is Jayden Brailey. Absolutely is him.
Yeah, for sure.
But like you said, you can't beat good old-fashioned cover. Do you know what I mean? Depth at position. And it's extremely fortunate that they've had him there. And that's the way it's what's gone.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Dufty, the second try that they had? Was that a penalty try?
The Matt Dufty one?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought so.
No.
You don't reckon?
No. It's a sin bin.
It's a sin bin, but why not a penalty try?
Absolutely a sin bin, but it's not a penalty try.
Why?
There's two players fairly close in the vicinity of that absolutely would have had a chance to be able to knock that ball dead. Yes, Dufty's quick. I understand. They're all saying, Dufty's quick. Yes, that's terrific. The ball bounces in very, the football bounces in mysterious ways.
I agree with that.
I just thought that there was two cover defenders coming across. I didn't think that the pull by Nathan Brown was significant enough. It's absolutely a sin binning. It's absolutely sin binning, but I don't think it was enough to be able to stop his momentum enough for him to be able to get there first and score the try. even when I first saw it watching it live, it's just like that'll be 10 in the bin. That's all it'll be. And when they started to talk penalty try, it's like no, that's not a penalty try. He's too far away from the ball to absolutely say that he's going to get.
They're putting so many assumptions
into it. That's not what the penalty try is about.
I get that. There was
it's ten in the bin.
I guess looking at it that way, it wasn't clear cut, but I mean, yeah, you'd have to find something else.
We agree to disagree, but
you'd have to find something else that to compare it to that was let in as a no try, just to not a penalty try to compare it to, which doesn't really happen these days anyway.
No, not really, but they're a bit hard to come across, and usually the player is a lot closer to the ball than what Dufty was.
Fair.
And it might be it's going back 22 years. You go back to the 99 grand final.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Ainsco.
Yeah, that's right, Ainsco. What a killer.
Craig Smith, yeah, getting taken out by Jamie Ainsco, yeah. Right? Yeah. But that
he was absolutely. He almost had his hand on the ball to score.
He just had to put the ball down, and then he lost the
penalty try.
That's absolutely a penalty try.
To me, that my mind always just casts back to that because it's obviously in the biggest game, biggest moment of the game.
I think because that was like one of those. It was a great grand final, but God, that was just one of those high intense moments in a grand final I couldn't ever remember. Yes, I know the Cowboys Broncos one is up there as well, but so is this one. It's always in my head
Melbourne had none of the running in the first half, and I remember this distinctly, and people who I used to work with in 1999 at Club Crocodile Long Island will all be able to attest to this. We had everybody in that bar going for St. George Illawarra. All of a sudden, by the second half, I'm the only one left standing there still going for the Dragons. Everybody had jumped on the Storm bandwagon. Like, what is wrong with you people? Flippin' fans.
Yeah, cool.
Of course you'd like that. Of course you would.
So your studs and duds a week. Who did you have as a stud of the week?
Look, I guess for me it was rather a simple task this week to pick out David Fifita. A wrecking ball for the Gold Coast at the moment. You could say it's the buy of the season, but boy, they paid for it. He's just been a destruction machine.
And I thought in that game, David Fifita was a destruction machine. Don't get me wrong. I thought Jared Wallace in that game was great as well.
Jared Wallace was terrific as well. That's one of the better games I've seen him play for.
He was up there in the Daly M points.
Three Daly M points. How the hell did that happen? And Fifita only got two.
Before I took your mind, it's funny now they're starting to put who the judges are for these games. Who judges these points?
For the actual Dally M.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So the one you want to know who decided that Jared Wallace got the nod over Fifita?
Is it media or is it a third party thing?
All ex players.
Fair enough.
Bobby Sattler.
Well, okay, fair enough.
So and it's just funny.
Gold Coast as well.
Well, and that's right. And I'm just looking through these games, like Ryan Girdler did the Rabbitohs Broncos one. Steve Roach did the Eagles Warriors. Like it's interesting.
Well, they do the same. That's obviously these guys are there.
They've done it all the time.
They do the same thing on the ABC radio. They have the Warren Ryan medal on the ABC radio, and it's always the guys who are like the color commentators, the ex players that do their 3-2-1s, for the Warren Ryan medal on the ABC. So.
I'm not against it. It's interesting seeing their name next to now who the judges are for each game.
You'd rather stay anonymous, wouldn't you?
Because put it this way, if you look at he's not my pick, but Paul Vaughan got 3 points because the judge was Luke Lewis. Of course, Luke Lewis is going to pick a no nonsense forward.
Luke Lewis does work for the ABC as well.
They all. can, like Billy Moore did the Cowboys Tigers one. So, and he gave Scotty Drinkwater 3 points. So,
he absolutely deserved that.
Of course. Yeah, no. So, this, I mean, they're doing a great job. It's just interesting seeing their names next to this now. I agree with you. You don't want to be there.
No, absolutely not. You'd rather stay
anonymous. If someone loses by 1 point.
Especially when it's the Dally M. Like, you could always go back and, you know, like, you know, I'm sure the Warren Ryan medal is a very prestigious medal to get. But, you know, you're not going out there as an accolade in your career saying, oh, you know, you've won 3 Warren Ryan medals. You know, you want your Dally M medals.
For me, it was Latrell Mitchell. Just, I don't know, he is starting to... He started with the hype at the start of the season of how he hyped himself up and said, I'm going to be, well, at least for 3 years, he gave himself a task of being the best number one in the game. But in this game, it wasn't even just the 2 tries. He was just everywhere.
That second try was just all power.
He could easily, I don't know. Like, he had one line break, but it was the thing for me that had sort of tipped me over was the line break assist and the try assist. He could essentially just from, like, you know, he's a great number one, but just he probably can't kick. This is probably his only downfall. But he could play a 6 or even a 13 if you want to look at it that way.
They played him at 6 at the Roosters.
So,
absolutely played him at 6 at the Roosters.
Okay, well then, yeah, I'd see he could slot there in later. Like, he doesn't have to play fullback the whole time. But, yeah, that second try was really good. But, yeah, just in general, he's going in on his own hype. Like, him and Pappenhausen are the clear-cut 1 and 2 for Dally M points at the moment. And I think Cleary will sort of stay there, but those two are just there. They're going to be neck and neck the whole year, I think. Pappenhausen and Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was almost just going to say, like, some of the, you know, instead of David Fifita, like, just some of the tries that were scored this weekend were amazing. Like that, like I said, that Jason Saab try off the early kick, pure speed.
Pace and brute force tries. It was phenomenal. Yeah, I agree.
The Murray Tuolungi try. Just the fingertips. He just stole it right out of David Norfoluma's hands and juggled it a little bit and then had to turn around and then put the ball down just on the point, just the hands by that. The Luciano Leilua try in the same game where he caught it above his head, one-handed, one-armed, kept control of it and then planted the ball next to the sticks. Like, some of the skill, you know, that brute force try by Latrell Mitchell, that second try that he had, you know, basically right at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just some of the tries this weekend were just, they're otherworldly. Like, the skilled hands of these guys, unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Who did you, just to finish up then, your dud of the week? Or duds?
I'm never a fan of booing your team off at halftime. Oh my God, the Boo Birds at Leichhardt Oval on Sunday afternoon.
You can't blame them.
You can't play the game on emotion alone. I understand that everything was about Tommy. And yeah, they brought out the number 7 jersey. Do you know what I mean? You can't go out there and simply play on emotion alone.
Well, look,
that has to be a part of it, but they just... The Tigers just weren't simply up to it in that first half.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they were let known by the crowd. I'm never an advocate of booing your team off unless you're getting shellacked, you're getting absolutely pummeled. I've been to a game up here where the Cowboys were down 48-0 to Newcastle. It was a Joey Johns masterclass. 48-0. This is just me as a fan. I wasn't booing them off the park.
No, I agree with that. And I agree. Like in that, it was what you just said. There was 3 things that sort of made it. I thought they were booing. That was the emotion of Tommy Raudonikis. They were essentially getting pummeled by a team that hasn't won a game at 28-6 at halftime. So
the Tigers have been alright the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I can see why they're, but I get, look, that's fair. I get why you're saying it, you know, especially, well, that whole emotion of that game, but just in general, you don't, I don't think I've ever booed any of the teams I support, ever. I don't think I ever have.
What's the, look, I understand you're going to be a fan, you're going to pay your hard-earned to go to the game. Like, that's just pointless booing them off. Like, that doesn't help anybody. Like, I get it. You're venting confidence. Your frustrations, but it doesn't help anybody.
I was giving it. It's funny. I was giving it to this entire game just for. It was a tale of two halves. It was poor from both sides. Like, I would have laughed my ass off if it finished in a draw. That's almost what happened.
The thing was, like, you know, Dewey was 3 from 6 kicking. Yeah. Like, can they give him any more responsibility? They may as well just give him the captaincy as well. They have given him so much responsibility now in this, his second full year in first grade. Now he's the 5'8". You could tell that Luke Brooks is terribly out of form.
Luke Brooks is.
They were trying to run a lot of that game through Adam Dewey. There's too much on the kid. Yeah. Now he's got to kick goals as well.
I agree. It's too much for him. Yeah, but that just goes back to how poor you just said Luke Brooks is, because he is. He's very, very poor. I mean, he has been poor for years. That he's off contract. Yeah, that's a team that is completely out of sorts. Completely out of sorts. I mean, I think that this week there's no they dropped Joey Leilua, so.
He came back. Oh, they put him in this squad, right?
Yeah.
In jersey 19 or whatever it was, dumped Moses Mbai back to the bench in the number 4 jersey. He was named at center, and then he has to go off with concussion. He has to go off with a HIA and fails it. So they've got to put Moses Mbai back on anyway.
And that's why he's out this week anyway. But yeah, it's a team that I can't, there's no identity, because there really isn't. And if your identity is running through a second year young guy who we've both liked, and Adam Dewey,
you're in massive trouble. It's such a mistake to take him out of the fullback role. But look, Dane Laurie has been.
No, Dane, yeah, you're right.
He's been terrific at fullback.
I don't mind Adam Dewey there. I agree. I think he's more suited as a one, but I don't mind him there, probably because he's been admirable for the. You know, to help the team. But yeah, mine was just that collectively that game. God, yeah, there was everything, I suppose. It was the emotion of it.
That's right.
It was the booing. Poor plays from. Oh my God.
Yeah. Heart attack material when you're a fan. Good God.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you could just see it was just an absolute avalanche in that second half. That the Tigers were just totally all over them, and yeah, they took the invitation that the Cowboys gave them to get back into this game, and nearly pulled it off.
Nearly pulled it off, and then it didn't happen. But they should have been clapped off then, at least for trying in that second half, because they goddamn did. They must have heard, they heard the boos clearly. You know, clap them off. They nearly got back and won that game. Well,
exactly. That's right. Like, you know, it's one of those gets. Yeah, it's a heart stopper at the end of it. You know, They got what they are. They should have got their just dues at the end of that game.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it.
Sold out Leichhardt over.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
The old girl.
Oh yeah, it's a great.
Still going strong.
You ever been to her?
No.
Yeah, no, it's good. You never get, like, there's a couple little bits of seating, but you don't care. You always want to get that little hill where you can stand up. You don't want to sit down that whole game, because it's the closest. If you they don't show up, but right behind that little hill, you know, that little one on the. They got the state, the seating on one side, and then they got the little hill on the other one. Yeah. Just behind that, they never show you want to be in the hill, because there's like bars all along the bottom there. So just walk up and down the hill.
That's where you want to be.
It's a better crowd on that side. So
what do they have? 18,000 or 19,000 there, all packed in there.
Okay, it probably had a lot to do with Tommy Radonikis. I still think it had a lot to do with.
They generally still get a good crowd there.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly right. They probably could have got 14-15 with that, without Tommy's passing. So, yeah,
I'll say that. Sunday afternoons. I mean, it's the love affair of rugby league. It's Sunday afternoon football. It's Leichhardt Oval.
I should do it more.
Yeah. Well, that's just what rugby league is. It's those smaller boutique type stadiums.
Go to Cobra Sunday afternoon. That'd be awesome.
Always, it's always what it's been about. You know, the biggest stadium that they ever used to play in back in the day was the SCG. So
yeah, go to Cogra on a Sunday Arvo, Tigers versus Dragons. I'm guaranteed they'll get exactly probably about the same as well. So
Why can't they go? Yeah, so I mean, why can't they go back to Concord and places like that? You know what I mean? Like it's. But that's what I mean. Cogra's still up to standard, you know. The even Shark Park, like you know, it's a big stadium, but it's right. Everything's right on top of you. You don't have to have
the
gigantic stadiums because all you got to do is have a look at Stadium Australia now.
Look
it up here with this 26,000 seats. That. When there's 12,000 in there. It looks ridiculous.
I was trying to let it down nicely, but I was literally just about to say that, yeah, you look at your stadium where Cowboys Sunday afternoon. I don't get.
It's a beautiful stadium. And nothing wrong with the old one.
No. It is a beautiful stadium. There's nothing wrong with the old one. But I think Queensland games, and it could be just me, but Queensland games are more suited to night games, whereas New South Wales games, the Sunday Arvo games, are a lot better. That's a personal thing. But you've got to win, I suppose.
Up here, it's a very fair weather fan base up here. As soon as your team goes to pot for a while, everyone deserts them. Have a look at the Townsville Crocs. They no longer exist anymore because there's no fan support. Whereas in the mid to late 90s, the early 2000s, they used to have the entertainment centre rocking 5,000 strong every single night.
I agree.
You have a couple of rubbish seasons, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah, no, it happens everywhere, really, if you think about it.
But that's the thing. It works here because you have your Saturday night game. It works
because
you've got fans coming from everywhere. They come from Cairns. They come from Mackay. They come from Mount Isa. They come from all over the region. You put it on a Friday night, they can't get here. You put it on a Sunday afternoon, they can't get home in time for everyone to go back to work and go back to school. Saturday nights up here, they just work.
That's
what it is.
They do work.
And I'm extremely surprised that they haven't got the Broncos game on whenever it is round nine. I think it's the round before Magic Round. I'm pretty sure it's round nine. I just bought tickets to it. But I'm extremely surprised that's not on either a Thursday or a Friday night. The Channel 9 didn't sniper it. It's on a Saturday night up here, so it'll be on Fox Sports. It should be a bumper crowd.
It'll be a sellout.
It damn well should be.
It should be, but, you know, both teams aren't playing well.
You can never have the opportunity for that. Even the last 4 or 5 years when Channel 9 grab it and they put it on a Thursday night or a Friday night because you can't get here.
Yeah, good point.
The region can't get here.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, I always agree with that. You're right. It is on a Saturday night, so they did sniper that one pretty well. Yeah.
I'm so surprised that Channel 9 didn't snag that game.
Well, before we finish up, if you look at those Thursday, Friday games, you got Rabbitohs versus Storm on Thursday, so that's a big game. And then the two Friday games are big as well, Panthers, Sharks, and then Eels, Roosters. So kind of makes sense in a way.
Fair enough. Hey, that works for me. Totally fine with me.
Oh, they'll get a huge crowd there.
Go back to the Saturday night, you know, Broncos-Cowboys game up here. You want that to be a sellout.
And it will be because we say it every time, but there's more Broncos fans up here than Cowboys fans, technically, if you really ask.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If I walked out outside now and asked 100 people which one do you like more, I'd get more Broncos than Cowboys. I would. So...
It's 50-50 up here, and it's been like that for a long, long time. You know, the Broncos have been in the competition early, 88. Cowboys come in 95. Like, it's the region has always been, if you're supporting a Queensland team, you would support the Broncos, unless you're an idiot like me and you support the Gold Coast Seagulls.
Still the Titans, technically, so you're still there. Yeah,
well, I'll always go back to those ties.
Well, on that note, we'll finish up this week. Don't forget, we've got our socials out there. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. Also, Final Play Podcast is where you get, except for generally during a pod, when we break news, you'll mainly get it on the Facebook page. Also, which shows all where our podcasts are. Don't forget, you can still get our podcast on Eureka Cards. I love calling it because that's when I look it up, but it's gimco.com.au. So very gracious still again, as always, of having the podcast on there.
Absolutely. That's just always a big shout out to those guys that help us out, you know, with, you know, obviously listening to the pod out there, if you're listening to it on Gimco. So, you know, it's always greatly appreciated that that we're allowed to have that platform to put our little show out there. So it's it's always muchly appreciated.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Yeah, bring back the old Stadium Sunday Arvo games. 100% Smith. Because it's better. Bring back Saturday. Go back to Friday night for Broncos because that works there. I know we all hate it, but it works there. Bring back Saturday night for Cowboys and bring back Sunday Arvo for like your Bulldogs and your Tigers and your Dragons.
Well, it's just because the NRL doesn't want to have, because the AFL always has Thursday night football as well. So they've got no other choice but to put Thursday night football on because they just want to try and take eyeballs away from them. I'd rather have Thursday night football than Monday night football.
But Thursday seems to be your it's slowly looking like it's your premier game of the week. Slowly but surely. I don't know. Like, it just seems to, I don't know if it's deals or what's going on, but it's slowly looking like that's the game of the round, so to speak. So, slowly.
Yeah, it's usually your premiere. Channel 9 always takes your premiere games anyway and puts them on either, you know, as a showcase either Friday night or Sunday afternoon. So, you know, that's just that's the way it is. They always get their pick of the games. So, I guess we'll sign off as on Miles. I'm an idiot for supporting the Gold Coast Seagulls Plum.
I don't think you're an idiot for supporting them. Well, at the moment, they're your best Queensland side, so.
No, absolutely. It's only taken, you know, what, 32 years. So, you know, that's good that they're actually getting a little bit of respect and a little bit of notoriety on the Gold Coast. Whereas, you know, before it used to just be a retirement home for the likes of Marty Bella and Dale Shearer and the King and players like that. It was very rare that they ever kept any of their big stars. You know, Wayne Bartram started there before he went to St. George. You know, Jamie Goddard was a Gold Coast Charger. Like there was very rare that they ever sort of kept any of their talent because they're just like, who the hell wants to keep? It's, you know, it's the Gold Coast Strip. Everybody loves it there, but yeah, the football for a lot of years was terrible.
It was. It is good now. They're recruiting very well.
Good now. I won't lie. It's definitely exciting times for the Gold Coast as an up and coming team. And you know, Justin Holbrook looked like he's got him. There's improvement to be had, but he's getting close to getting him firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. All right. Have a good week, everyone. See ya. Good
week, everyone. Enjoy footy. See ya.